This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
France says if you can take a train, then you're banned from taking a plane. Hello and welcome to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. So how do we cut our carbon emissions? It's a question we're all grappling with personally and at government level. And a few years ago, France came up with one idea: reduce some short domestic flights. After all, aviation is estimated to contribute to 2.5% of global carbon emissions. The industry had been challenging the move, but now that idea has been signed into law. Restricting flights when there's an option to take a train in less than 2.5 hours instead. Air France had to cut its routes and competitors were banned from filling those gaps. But how comprehensive and impactful will it really be? I've been asking Simon Calder. He's the travel correspondent at the Independent newspaper of London. And as you might expect, he's always on the move. He was at a riverside cafe in Ireland when we spoke.
Let me take you back a couple of years. You'll recall, of course, during the COVID pandemic, airlines right across Europe, across the world, were suffering very, very deeply. Many of them went to their governments, I guess, understandably, to borrow billions of euro, billions of dollars in order to stay afloat. Air France did exactly that, but they also actually got strings attached to their deal. And the French government basically said, OK, you can have this money, but only if you agree to ditch short-haul flights where you could travel perfectly reasonably by our excellent high-speed trains in less than 2.5 hours. And Air France said, OK, we'll do that. I don't suppose they felt that they had much choice at the time.
So there's not going to be any options for short-haul flights anymore with Air France, is that it?
No, it's absolutely not the case. That's exactly the story which France is telling, and it's being welcomed by environmentalists around the world, understandably, but it's absolutely not happening. This hasn't eliminated short flights. It simply means that on what we call point-to-point routes, so that is typically a route, say, from Toulouse to Paris Orly, there will be fewer or perhaps no flights. But Air France wants to be able to say to passengers from Africa, from Asia, from the Americas, yes, we'll fly you to Paris and then we'll fly you on to Nantes in the west of France, for example. All big airlines do this, and I can't see that this is going to make a great deal of difference. Anybody with any sense, whether that's aesthetic or environmental or indeed economic, is already travelling by train from places like Lyon into Paris.
Simon Calder, travel expert, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
My pleasure.
Now let's do the numbers. European and Asian stocks falling today, most of them down by more than 1.5%. Why? Well, it's because the stalemate over the US debt ceiling deal keeps dragging on. But in better numbers news, the UK inflation rate has finally dropped below 10% for the first time in 8 months. Official figures show prices in the UK went up by 8.7% in April, but that's still a long way from the target 2%. Sticking with the green theme, earlier this week, our Marketplace colleagues looked at the steps to clean up US steelmaking. The global industry accounts for 8% of carbon emissions. Similar moves are afoot in Sweden, close to the Arctic Circle, where they're using new technology to move away from carbon-emitting coal blast furnaces. The BBC's Maddie Savage has been there and sent us this report.
beautiful morning.
Fantastic,
incredible sunrise, crisp, clean air.
Just a bit slippy in some places.
Andy Turner leads the construction team that's powering through layers of mud and ice in temperatures of minus 8 degrees Celsius to build Europe's first large-scale green steel plant.
2025 is when we're getting our first steel out. We've got just under 60 people, but we could be 5,500 to 6,000 people once we get up to full peak on this.
So this really is one of the biggest industrial projects in northern Sweden in decades.
Yeah.
The idea came from the Swedish electric battery maker Northvolt, which wanted to avoid the harmful carbon emissions linked to transporting steel from abroad and to find a greener way of producing it on home soil. Two of Northvolt's founders launched H2 Green Steel in 2021. Ida-Linn Nazelius is from the new startup's sustainability team.
So we're going to use fossil-free electricity from this region where we have Lula River, which has lots of hydropower plants. And we also have one of Europe's largest wind power parks.
Crucially, the plant will also cut carbon emissions by using hydrogen instead of coal. Most traditional steel plants puff out carbon dioxide as a result of coking coal, packed with carbon, reacting with iron ore to strip it of oxygen, which is an important part of the steelmaking process.
So we still have the iron ore, but that's mixed with hydrogen, reacting together, so what we get is water.
In the US, Big River Steel has developed electric furnaces and degassers that cut emissions. And the EU and the US are using tariffs to stop companies shipping in cheaper, carbon-heavy imports from other parts of the world, like China. But experts argue there are still barriers to green steel going mainstream.
Around 70% of the global coal-based production infrastructure needs reinvestment.
That's Katinka Lundberg, who works for a climate think tank in Brussels, 3EG.
The next 8 years are crucial for making sure that companies and investors make decisions towards green steel production instead of reinvesting in the old coal-based production pathways.
Other industry experts I spoke to said companies and governments thinking about investing in green steel also need to consider the impact on job losses if traditional plants close down as a result, and how they'll find enough workers with the right skills for the new ones. But in Borden, a remote town close to the new H2 Green Steel plant, there's a lot of optimism.
There will be more people for sure, and hopefully it will be good for the stores and the shops here.
Some people are scared because it's new and it's big. It's hard to get your head around it, but mostly I think it's positive.
H2 Green Steel has already recruited more than 150 workers to its offices in Borden and in Stockholm. But we'll have to wait and see if life in the frozen north ends up suiting them in the long run, and whether the rest of the world can catch up with Sweden's green steel innovation.
The BBC's Maddie Savage with that report. And for more on the French short-haul ban, you can visit the BBC News website. And that's it from me, Leanna Byrne, with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.